Thanks for listening to The Drive on Demand, presented by Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment.
Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766.
Or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with D-Mac, Tyler Palumbus, and Nick Ferguson. Now here's the top six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
Guys, I was actually surprised that, you know, we were doing the count of how many Gary Kubiak questions would be asked to Vic Fangio, but the first one was about Colin Kaepernick, and is somebody from the Broncos going to be at the workout?
I don't know. You'd have to ask John that. That's a personnel decision, but I really don't know.
Well, our guy Mike List did ask John, and John said there would be a Broncos representative at the Colin Kaepernick workout. And I saw at least six other teams besides the Broncos declare that they would be there. Maybe that number is closer to 19, 20 teams being at the Colin Kaepernick workout. Where do you guys see this is going?
I see it as being a great thing for Colin Kaepernick, the league, and all these teams that are going down there. I mean, they're not saying that they're signing him automatically. They're just going to go see him work out, and that's not a big deal. You can send a director of player personnel or an area scout down there just to see, what did he look like? You know, did he run a quick 40? Were the throws where they need to be?
Did you see Eric Reid call it a publicity stunt?
Yeah. Well, that's what it is for the Denver Broncos by going.
Okay.
It is only a publicity stunt. The Denver Broncos will never sign Colin Kaepernick. That history is way too deep, and it is not going to be repaired, and they have no interest in signing him. And I got to go through some stuff here. It's going to take me a minute. Forgive me if I go too long.
No, we got time.
But you're going through more stats?
Yeah, I am. Because you guys got to educate me on what I'm missing on Colin Kaepernick. D-Mac, you went on to kill me with truth last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever
that
was.
They should look at him.
Nah, you said that they should sign him.
I did not say that.
You said they should sign him.
I said they should look at him.
We're going to have to check the tape. Yeah, anyways.
All right.
Colin Kaepernick. This is a guy that after 2013, he only won 15 games in three seasons. Got replaced by Blaine Gabbert. He was one of the least accurate passers in the NFL with a 59% completion percentage. Between 2015 and 2016, he ranked dead last. That is dead last. You cannot get worse in off-target percentage. This is a guy that among 33 quarterbacks to play at least 500 snaps, Kaepernick was the worst graded quarterback in 2015. Also a guy that when he was the quarterback, he was averaging 18 points per game, got replaced by Blaine Gabbert. The team started averaging 22.2 points per game. This is also a guy that over the last three seasons, among all 29 quarterbacks with at least 800 attempts over that span, by the way, this is written in 2017, Kaepernick ranked only ahead of Blake Bortles in adjusted net yards per attempt. So not only did he have a terrible completion percentage, 59%, but he was throwing the ball a shorter distance than any quarterback in the NFL. What am I missing on this?
Well, Tyler said, you said that article was in 2017, so that tells you how...
Part of that was, yeah.
Part of it, I mean, just listening to that, and it needs to be updated.
On what?
Well, in that, I've heard a lot of negative things about Colin Kaepernick. I did not hear about, you know, how he rushed the ball, how he distributed the ball, how he was able to carry his team, you know, when Alex Smith was injured under Coach Harbaugh. To a Super Bowl, I heard none of that, and then the whole idea...
That all happened before he regressed.
But you got to actually tell why he regressed. It wasn't because the guy was awful.
When
you saw Colin Kaepernick here practicing against the Denver Broncos, it was like, wow, who was that guy? He doesn't even look the same.
It was bad.
He lost about 20 pounds because he had surgery. A lot of that...
No, he chose to do that. He went vegan.
Oh, geez.
No, he chose to go vegan, and he lost all that weight.
But he had shoulder surgery.
I know, but that wasn't related to the weight.
He did. So this is a tricky one because...
Well, I don't understand how that's related to the weight.
Shoulder surgery? If you have surgery on your shoulder, it's going to affect your body weight because if you're used to lifting... then your body mass is going to shrink.
All right, he went vegan, and so that's how he lost all the weight.
Oh, but, whatever.
You want to say he was a poor NFL quarterback, you got plenty of numbers. I saw it with my own two eyes at that training camp.
He was terrible.
He did not look good. I'll give you that.
You got to look at why he didn't look good.
But that being said, so Delvin Hodges, whoever that is, started a game. What does he do? He does turkey calls or something?
Yeah.
He started. Brandon Allen started a game. You know, Colin Kaepernick, for all those bad stats, he did start in the Super Bowl.
Oh, and more than capable of being in the NFL, more than capable of being a backup on just about any team, and probably more than capable of competing to be a starter on a bad football team.
But, all right.
You can laugh all you want, Nick. You're gonna have to back one of your opinions up with stats here, because these are facts, dude. He was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL in his final couple seasons.
Is it a dog and pony show Saturday? Like Eric Reed implied it is. Or is it a real deal?
Well, it could definitely end up being the real deal. And the fact that the NFL went to Colin Kaepernick with this and not vice versa, I mean, extend him to Olivich. Call it whatever you want to.
It was a weird deal. It was like, I've read more details. Like, he was told on, like, a couple days ago, it's happening Saturday. That's it. No other chances. Like, the end. And, well, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting. Let's keep track. Who exactly is the Broncos scout that actually goes there?
Last thought on this. I changed my mind on how many people will be there. Yesterday, I did not think there would be very many teams at all. Today, I think that the majority of the NFL will be at this workout because nobody wants to be there. If the Broncos are going, that shows you where NFL clubs' heads are at. They don't want to be the team that doesn't show up.
Okay. Should be an interesting day. Ring it, Richie.
Mike Zimmer was asked earlier this morning about whether or not Gary Kubiak factored into the hiring process that they would have to hire Rick Dennison and Brian Perriani as well. Here's what he had to say.
Coach, did Gary insist on those three coaches coming with him in order to take the job?
No. No, he never. Gary was never one of those guys that... you know, if I'm going to do this, I have to have this or I have to have that. He was not like that at all. I just felt like it was the best for us because those guys have been together before. I felt like it'd be the best transition and most smoothest for it to work out that way.
Yeah, great question. I'm being serious. That was a great question. Do you buy it?
No. I think, well, kind of. I mean, it was... I don't think Gary probably came out and said, if you don't hire these guys, I'm out of here. But I think the implication was that Gary really needed these guys to make it work. What do you think, Mike? Something like that. The real question is, if Mike Zimmer didn't hire one of those guys, would Gary still be there? But we don't know that. So I think it's mostly BS what Zimmer's saying, but I think the way it was probably handled gave him enough wiggle room to make him sound like it was an autonomous decision.
I don't think it's BS because Coach Zimmer is a stand-up guy. He's a no-nonsense guy, and he's not going to be have his back where he's placed in the corner based on the coach and Gary Kubiak's position saying, either you hire me and my other three or four guys or I'm out. It was the fact of respecting Gary Kubiak and his scheme, and it's paying off for the Minnesota Vikings and Mike Zimmer right now. So it's not BS. It makes sense.
Okay. Well, yeah, I would actually agree with Nick. I think that to Mike Zimmer, it was totally irrelevant who he brought with him. He wanted Gary Kubiak the coach, and if that meant he got Rico with him, that meant he got Brian Perriani with him, so be it. He didn't care.
Mm-hmm. It was an interesting response. Because let's face it, is Kubiak there if Perriani is on Clint and Dennison aren't? Really? You think he's there? Come on.
No, he's not there. But
of course not.
They found a way to make everything work.
It's working, though. It's all working.
And the way you make it work, no egos in the room.
Take that to the next level. If Mike Zimmer did not want those two coaches, is Gary Kubiak the offensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos right now?
Well,
Because then you would have been told by two teams that, no, we want you, but not those guys.
That's a good question. He may just be somewhere else. He may be doing something else. Listen, the one thing we know about Coops, that dude can get a job. There's no doubt about it. I mean,
deservedly so.
Yeah, I mean, never mind the NFL. How many colleges would love to have Gary Kubiak running things?
Because the system works.
Yeah, no, well.
Yes, he does, D-Mac.
We can dig into that. Ring it, Richie.
So, Brandon Allen was asked, what does he think about all this Drew Lock talk this week? Here's what he had to say.
My biggest thing I've always thought is I can only control the things that I can control, and that's something that I can't control. So my focus is playing well this week, playing well in practice all week, and doing my job when I'm out there. So I think everything else is going to work itself out, and I'm just going to keep trying to play to the best of my abilities. You know, I think that there's a plan for him, and you know, like I said, my focus is really just sticking to this game plan and trying to get a win this week. So anything else that happens from there, you'll hear about it.
How much do you think all the buzz about Drew Lock is actually affecting Brandon Allen?
Oh, I think it affects him. Yeah. You know, we've all been the new guy that got a job that was handed to us temporarily because we were filling in. And nobody was expecting us to hold on to that job. Some of us created a career out of that job and we held on to it because we balled out. Others, we lost it, right? Right now, Brandon Allen is well aware of the fact that this is an extremely temporary job. Drew Lock is sitting on the sideline, a second round pick, and politics of the NFL say the second rounders will play at some point. So I have to imagine it's affecting him to some degree.
He just has to do the best with this opportunity. This dude really does have to take it one day at a time. I'll never forget when I was hired. I was 23 years old, and I was hired to host a morning show in Syracuse right out of college. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what an amazing opportunity. I found out later I was hired because the radio station was planning on selling, and so they wanted to keep the cost as low as humanly possible, and they didn't really care what happened. Well, to a certain degree, isn't Brandon Allen, I mean, kind of like that?
Yeah.
Meaning nobody's expecting anything from this dude, and most likely they're going to move on from you. But you know what? For me personally, it's still important that I did a good job because I had to think about what was next in my career, and likely that's what Brandon Allen will have to do now. By the way, how about Kyle Allen in Carolina? I mean, are they about to dump Cam Newton for Kyle Allen? It sure looks like that. So, man, if you have an opportunity in anything, right, just do the best you can with it. You don't have to be a jerk about it. And, you know, I hope Drew Lock has success as well. But I hope Brandon Allen throws for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns, no interception, and runs for 50 yards, and the Broncos win. Why not? What other way is there to look at it?
If I'm Brandon Allen, I'm not even looking over my shoulder at Drew Lock. Because if the idea is that at some point the team will move on from me to Drew Lock.
What's the point?
I mean, what's the point? What do you gain by looking over your shoulder?
Nothing. Bring it, Richie. The Nuggets lost to a hapless Hawks team. Big deal or not big deal last night?
Well, it's a huge deal. The record is good for the Nuggets overall, but it has not been a good feeling inside that building. And they've looked bad against bad teams. And all of a sudden, this happens, and I think it's a dose of reality that the Nuggets, man, all those preseason headlines, maybe they were read a little bit too much.
Mm.
Mm. Watching Trae Young drop 42.
How'd you like the stare down?
I mean, yeah, listen.
Was that cold?
As an athlete, you live for those moments where you do something so awesome. You look at the opponent like, yeah, I just did it. You just saw that. How do you like that? And looking at the Nuggets, I mean, I wasn't really too surprised because they've been in a lot of tough games, close games with teams that they should have just blown out with a 12 or 15 point lead. But to a team that was beat up, you lose at home.
Big deal or not a big deal?
That's a huge deal.
Huge deal.
Huge deal moving forward.
Okay. Like,
what type of team are you?
Ring it, Richie.
Broncos have made a roster move today. They claimed Cyrus Jones off of waivers from Baltimore. He's a cornerback who's got experience. He's played
on the 53?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
And they dropped Cody Sensabaugh as the corresponding move.
Cody.
Cote. Yeah, so they swapped corner for corner.
Wow, interesting.
Couple things of note in this. Cyrus Jones, he's mostly known as a special teams guy. He's been a pretty good returner, as a punt returner.
Okay.
I don't know that he would be here to replace Deontay Spencer. I think Deontay's done a decent, actually a pretty good job. I wonder if this has anything to do with, is Bryce Callahan going to go on the IR now?
Yeah.
Are they looking for an upgrade?
Well, he didn't practice today, and he practiced yesterday, so I would assume that I assume that's going to happen.
Yeah, I definitely would assume that, but I would also say, you know, Cyrus Jones being signed is not a detriment or, you know, looking back at Deontay Spencer, it may be a positive for him. That may mean that the team is going to utilize his skill set as a slot receiver more so than we've seen in weeks past.
That could be a positive. What's Timmy Pats doing here on the team?
Well, Tyler just said, hey, listen, Cyrus Jones is a punt returner, right? Deontay Spencer, he's a kick and punt returner.
I'd be a little bit nervous if I was Deontay Spencer right now.
No, you don't have to be, because now Tim Patrick becomes your number two.
Yeah.
And then now Deontay Spencer becomes your number three.
Whoa. Deshaun Hamilton?
Oh, come on, man. He's gone and forgotten.
Ring it, Richie. Wow.
So, Coach Fangio said that Tim Patrick will likely play on Sunday. Well, Bryce Callahan, who we were just talking about, seems to be behind the proverbial eight ball.
I think he's just hurt, you know. It's just, hey, listen, a guy had rested this much, and he practiced yesterday, and you saw what they were wearing and what kind of practice. It was nothing. It was a very relatively light football practice.
They did not have pads on.
And he was not able to go today. You can't go back-to-back days at this point. Bad sign.
So whose presence do you think would be missed? I mean, if Tim Patrick or Bryce Callahan?
Well,
we
don't know anything about Bryce Callahan, so it's good that Patrick's coming back. I think that's a plus.
Yeah, if we're asking who have we missed the most over the season, it's Bryce Callahan. Bryce Callahan, although he's not played for us, we paid him very, very handsomely, backed up the Brinks truck, opened the door, and let him have it all. That's what we did for Bryce Callahan. He's played a lot of football. He was Vic Fangio's guy, and he was expected to be our number two corner.
Yep.
So that is a much bigger impact on the field than our number three or number four wide receiver.
No, it's not. Considering the fact that we thought Joe Flacco was going to come in and be the guy, and, you know, you want to put more weapons around him. That's what this offense is built on. I want to go with players who I know, I've seen their body work, and I know Bryce Callahan played in Chicago, but he played primarily in the nickel position. He was brought in here to push Chris Harris out, but...
Well, that's strong. He wasn't here to push Chris out. He was here to compliment Chris.
Yeah, you think about that the wrong way, Tyler. Think about the wrong way.
Well, I mean, you could be right. I don't know. They brought in two corners, so maybe you're right. He was here to be his compliment, though, this season.
Let me tell you something, man. It is good to be Chris Harris, because everything that needed to go his way has gone his way. Like, he got more money than Kareem Jackson. He got free money without having to do a new deal and still being a free agent.
Check.
The main competition that theoretically could have replaced him has been hurt all year.
Check.
Chris Harris is going to get paid.
And you know what? In the bag.
He may be getting and should be getting paid by the Broncos.
Yes, sir.
You'd be nuts.
My wife's a pro, just like me.
Rap it, Richie. Chris Harris owns the world. This is the Chris Harris world. We're just visitors in it.
How many players, how many teammates did you have, Nick, with a tattoo that said the world is mine?
No, none of my teammates
Chris,
had that.
Does Chris have that?
No, I'm not saying Chris does. Oh. But I had... I've had, I don't know,
the world is
maybe
mine.
10 teammates that had a picture of the planet Earth and the words, the world is mine, around it.
Mm. See, there's a reason why that happened. That's from a very famous movie from as the late 80s.
What movie?
Scarface.
Oh.
Mm.
That's why.
Scarface was 70s, wasn't it?
Was it 70s? No.
I think so. Scarface?
It's 80s. Late 80s.
Richie's looking it up.
Late 80s. But the worst movie
soundtrack of all time.
But that would be the reason why, I would figure.
Scarface, no way it was that late 80s. Had to be 70s.
See?
83. Okay, so we're both wrong.
You were more wrong.
I was more wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This Astros thing. I know it's...
Unreal.
It's one of the craziest stories of all time. So... The Astros were stealing signals with technology. they had a camera pointed at the catcher, and they would relay the signals into the dugout, and somebody would, like, bang on a pipe, or what we read, a garbage can. So somebody went through it today. The video's out there, and it's a little tricky to hear, but I do want to play it, so just listen carefully. And they linked up the catcher giving the sign to the sound. So again, listen carefully to this.
He has since used
bang. That one was very slight, but he takes the changeup. Now, Farquhar looking good. Let's see. Fastball, no bang at all. Takes it. Next pitch. There's the changeup. Bang, bang.
There it
takes
is.
Takes it. There was the off-speed. Now, it's like, wait, what? What's going on here? Now look. Fastball outside. So quick. Two signs. Geared up for the fastball. Fouls it off. Next pitch. Change up.
Boom.
Bang, bang. That's.
Can you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Nick, could you hear that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
It's amazing.
And it's like I told you guys yesterday when we were talking about this. If I'm at the plate and I know it's a breaking pitch or off-speed pitch, the opposite is true, too. I know if it's not that, it's a fastball. It gives you a gargantuan advantage. Now, the Astros' stats actually don't prove it out. They actually did not hit that great at home, although I would say batting average isn't what you should be looking for because they may have only been using this signal situation in times that they really needed it. You know what I mean? They may not have been doing it all game. It may have been in very kind of specific situations. This is outrageous that this happened. And I talked to a bunch of baseball guys today. Nobody was familiar with a system like this. And I've got connections that go up and down all sorts of levels of baseball. It's really incredible.
Well, it's one of the most sophisticated and devious cheating systems in the history of all of sports. You've got a camera in the outfield that relays to a monitor down there in the dugout, which goes to a trash can or drum. That sounded like a stinking loud drum.
Maybe
by
it's
the way.
A pipe or something.
Whatever
that's,
it is.
That's
whatever.
Not a pipe.
Whatever it is, which goes out onto the field all in real time. This is unbelievable. And by the way, although you're right, we've never heard anything of it. Players were catching on.
They did in the video. It showed it. Yeah.
And I think you can keep playing. I think we've got it.
Okay.
The pitcher
sequence
stops.
Is so upsetting. There's no way that is done without technology. How fast they get the bangs after the sign goes down? It's so fast. That's, I mean, just upsetting. Now they try to do sequence. Outside fastball. No bang. Tries to foul it off. And then steps in again. Calls for the changeup. Bang, bang. And Farquhar steps off and says, can you hear it? He's like, hey, they got signs. We got to change this. So he goes on. This is super upsetting.
He grabs his catcher. He steps off. By the way, so here's what really happened. The pitcher accepts the sign, nods his head. He hears the bang, bang, and he immediately steps off the mound and calls his catcher up and says, are you hearing this?
Wild. Wild, man. The punishment has got to be severe.
Well that's the next biggest thing. If you are MLB, what are you going to do? I mean, are you taking draft picks away? Are you fining them a substantial amount of money? You're not going to take the World Series title away. Not going to do that.
It's a story worth following for sure. Outrageous, man. Pretty outrageous. When we come back, not as outrageous, but of course, the Broncos quarterback situation, where it stands, and how it really breaks down, that's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Nick, and Tyler.
All right, fellas. I got to admit, I got into a little Twitter beef with some peeps earlier today. Not in a bad way, but the most frustrating thing when it comes to this constant quarterback conversation is everybody wants guarantees. Everybody wants some form of guarantee, and everybody is scared to take chances on things. And I get it. But there is a reason why general managers literally make millions of dollars a year, right? I mean, there's a reason why these guys get paid that much money, is that at some point you've got to make a decision and have a philosophical way of approaching things. That is difficult. I mean, if it was easy to make these decisions, if it was easy to evaluate these guys, anybody could do it. So I think the job of the GM and any owner putting a GM in that position, you've got to have some sort of philosophical way of approaching things, knowing that the likelihood of success is slim at that particular position and probably most positions. So I just get tired of people wanting guarantees. What guarantees can we have in the world of sports?
Well, the only guarantee that you can have is based on the plan that you put out there. The guarantee is that you're going to go out and you're going to get free agents, draft picks that fit exactly what you want to do. Now, you can't guarantee the level of success that they're going to have from a production standpoint, but based on the personnel themselves, you can say, well, listen, I put my team and organization in a good spot because I have the right guys. I have the right coaching staff. Now we just have to put it together and actually put it on the field. That's the only thing that you can guarantee.
Well, like it or not, politics are a part of the NFL, just like they're a part of just about every workplace in America. And, you know, generally speaking, politics come about because GMs, they do have a little bit of a guarantee. They've got a guarantee that they are motivated to get the guys that they drafted on the field. So, ironically or not, you can guarantee something. You can guarantee that you've got a game plan to develop a certain player. You can guarantee that if you like Drew Lock in the second round, you're going to come up with every opportunity you possibly can to get him on the field.
Yeah.
And that starts right now. Now that he is practicing, you can guarantee that he gets 30% of the team snaps when the number one offense is going.
You know, Vic Fangio has asked that today. Is it a bigger priority for you to win or to develop younger players? And he said both. Well, boy, oh boy, that is a lot easier said than actually done, right? I mean, you've got to be pretty committed to a plan to take reps away from getting your starters ready for the pure cause of developing a guy during the season. And that's why I think once the regular season starts, it is funny to me how dramatically things change from training camp to when the regular season starts. It's night and day.
Well, that's true, D-Mac, but it's really only true if you've got a starter in place. You know, if Joe Flacco was your starting quarterback and he was still playing football right now, yeah, it would be a little bit risky to take reps away from him during practice, right?
Right.
I mean, is Brandon Allen really your starting quarterback? I get it. He's your starter this week. I get it. He'll go out there with the number ones. He'll play against the Minnesota Vikings. But you're not taking away from your true starters. So it's not as big of a risk in this situation.
I think it is because, I mean, Coach Fangio said it himself. I mean, the goal was 4-6. And if that is still your goal, even as crazy as that sound, you're still trying to win games. So if that's the case and Brandon Allen gives you the best opportunity and you know you got two road games coming up that are tough, you know, Buffalo and Minnesota, you have to give that guy the bulk of the rest because obviously at this point, Drew Lock wasn't on the radar.
I don't think there's any development really going on. You know, I was at practice yesterday and I was looking at our offensive linemen and I'm like, oh my God, we only have 8 offensive linemen? I mean, we've got to have more than that, don't we?
Well, that's not that abnormal.
Well, no, but we do have more than 8 offensive linemen. But
are you talking about on the active roster, or what are you talking about?
Well, that's correct. Because I looked over to the practice squad. So they're practicing, like, kickoff coverage. Or they're kickoff return. I'm sorry, they're practicing kickoff return.
Yeah.
So in order to do that, the scout team is, you know, kickoff coverage, right? So I'm looking at the like the eight guys that are starters, and they're doing offensive lineman drills, which absolutely look awful. And it is the least fun position of all time. I mean, while guys are kind of lounging around, they got like a heavy ball shuffling back and forth with each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we're men.
You are
we do the dirty work.
Dude, there's no doubt about it.
Collar.
You know, the corners and the safeties, dude, I don't know what they're doing. They're running around having fun, doing something. And you should see the elephants with a medicine ball between the, you know, the eight of them. But I look out on the kickoff coverage in that scout team, and there's a couple of offensive linemen. I'm like, oh, okay, right. Practice squad offensive linemen. But they're not working on offensive line play. They are just literally a body that is like, you know, helping out because we don't have enough guys to put a beanie on our head. They're doing nothing except absolutely occupying space. And it hit me then. Well, whatever time that you would be developing, this guy as an offensive lineman is being wasted right now with him doing nothing except filling space. So take that and multiply it by what? 100? 1,000? And you can see what is lost when you're on that scout team and you're really not doing anything. You're not, Tyler, there's no way you're developing as an offensive lineman in that particular role. There's got to be something better you can do. And I'm only seeing a tiny portion of practice.
To be fair, the only thing you're seeing is like the pre-practice scout team look of special teams, which is about a 10-minute period that you send your lowest offensive lineman, your practice squad guys, your guys that aren't dressed on game day. And they are practice dummies. I mean, they're just bodies. But that's like a 10-minute pre-practice period that
But what happens to those guys the rest of the practice?
Well, they go over with the O-line then.
Yes.
I mean, that's the only part. Yes, for sure.
Right.
That's the only part of practice in which you will see them over there with special
teams. I'm just saying that their involvement, their threat, there's probably a lot of observation going on rather than participation. And if you're going to take that to the quarterback position, yeah, no, you got to get these guys in the mix somehow. But if you want to win at the same time, I don't know. Are you really going to take reps away from Brandon Allen?
No, you don't want
to develop.
You don't
want to
do that. No, you don't want to do that. But D-Mac, there still is an opportunity throughout practice and after practice where you can get those guys those reps. I mean, just because, you know, you have a guy who may be a scout team guy, he may be perceived as being maybe a third-tier lineman, he still can get his reps in. Like I told you, in San Francisco, we had a post-practice, and that post-practice was about 15 to 20 minutes. In that time period, you can go through some of, you know, the techniques, some of the schemes that some of the starters are going to go through to make sure that you're familiar with them just in case someone gets hurt and they have to activate you off the practice roster.
I just think it's tough. Development in the NFL to me is really tough if you're just not one of those guys already. And to hear a coach say, we do both, to me, it's a roll your eyes moment. Because if it's both, I bet it's 90% preparing for the game and 10% development.
Well, which is fair if you're putting yourself in a head coach's position. I'm trying to win games because I'm trying to protect my job because I have no job security. It's certainly not any more than the players have.
Yeah.
So we're always trying to win now, but this is a different circumstance, guys. You've got a first-year head coach that his job is not in jeopardy. The season is over. You're not going to the playoffs, and your starting quarterback is on the injured reserve. So none of it really applies directly to this situation. And Nick, I would ask you, you say you don't want to do that. You don't want to take reps away from Brandon Allen. And I would say, why not? Because what is the goal? Are you saying you don't want to do that because you're trying to win this game or because you're thinking Brandon Allen, he needs all the development to become the future quarterback?
Well, he has more development than Drew Lock has at this stage, and if that was something that was important to the organization, they would pull Drew Lock off of IR and allow him his 21 days of practice. Right now, you have a tough game on the road against Minnesota. Right after that, it is Buffalo, and according to the team, they're not expecting Drew Lock to play.
No, but I know the team's perspective, right. But I'm saying our perspective. I'm asking your perspective.
I'm
asking
him all why.
What's that?
I'm not giving Drew Lock any of the reps. For what?
Yeah, so I'm saying why not?
What would you accomplish? You're taking the reps from a guy who's going to be your starter. He started once.
Very temporary starter. The most extremely temporary starter.
Okay, you can say that he's temporary, but for me, I say he's more permanent than Drew Lock is at this point because they don't know what he is.
Well, it's a compelling thing to think about, the concept of practice, getting ready in development, and Drew Locke's in a tough spot. What can I say? You know, the dude is in a ridiculously tough spot. And the Broncos have put him in that tough spot, and they repeatedly do it. So we'll see how it shakes out. We'll have the rest of the week to look forward to the game and see how Brandon Allen actually does. In terms of how practice actually went today, Troy Rank will join us next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler, Nick, and D-Mac.
Troy Rank, our Fan Broncos insider, joining us now courtesy of Tranny Law. Troy, you've been hearing this conversation. What are your general thoughts about what we've been saying?
Yeah, it's 2016 was fading, and they had moved on from Rick Dennison and Brian Perriani, specifically Perriani. There were more issues. But even Dennison, it ended badly. Not just production, but it ended badly. You know, so there is part of that that what you're saying, they wouldn't have blocked it for that. You know, I know it sounds like a stretch, but that was an issue. Like, we had let these guys go once. We want you back and the offense. We don't necessarily want all the guys underneath you to come back. So that was part of it. And, you know, and Vic Fangio, you're asking about, remember, it had been said to us in sources that Kubiak was going to be the offensive coordinator. It was a decision that was mutually exclusive of who the head coach was going to be. Fangio hadn't been hired.
Right,
it had come down between he and Munchak. We weren't sure who was going to get the job at that point. It looked like Munchak for a long time, and then Fangio ended up getting it. So I do think Vic's being honest that, hey, I hadn't agreed on that. Now, would he have completely put his foot down? I don't know. You know, he was looking for an offensive mind. I know he was, you know, he was looking for maybe a little more progressive and kind of to settle on an in-between with Scangarello. But, you know, Joe Ellis has been part of these decisions. Certainly Joe was involved in the firing of Mike Shanahan. Everyone knows that. But there have been weird and interesting decisions. It was always odd to me, and I love Gary Kubiak, the man and the person. I've never been around a better person in the NFL than Gary Kubiak, the person and his coaching job, that Super Bowl stretch of his transparency and his motivation and his ability to handle the pain and the injury is the best NFL coaching job I've ever covered. But it always seemed odd to bring him back. He was just removed from winning the Super Bowl with a guy who had never coached before. And Gary is egoless. And like you say, well, he goes to Minnesota, it's not a problem. He didn't win a Super Bowl in Minnesota. He had just won one in Denver. And if you're Vic Fangio, yeah. I don't care who he's, that's still weird. If the guy that just led him to the Super Bowl, and they would not be in this position had Gary not gotten ill, now he's back? And he's the assistant head coach / OC? That whole thing was bizarre to me. Like,
We lose Troy?
I think so.
Well, it was well said. He was on a roll, that's for sure. We're all sitting back listening to him.
I'm just nodding my head as I'm sitting here listening to him talk about Gary Kubiak, Vic Fangio. Of course, that would have been an incredibly tense, awkward, and unusual relationship. And, of course, Gary Kubiak is capable of handling that. But to the other party, that's odd.
Troy, you back?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's a long trip to Longmont. I understand. All right, so about today, how was, well, let's Drew Locke update, I guess. How was Drew Locke today, and how'd he sound, how'd he look, that sort of stuff?
You know, the one thing that sticks out about Drew Locke is he's confident, and he was definitely grateful to be back on the field, felt like he was, you know, be playing football again. It had been taken away from him since mid-August. He's trying to remain patient. You know, remember, again, this is a guy who had never... He's been a starter since freshman year of high school and freshman year of college, so this is an unusual situation for him. But the one thing I like about Drew Locke is he is confident. He does not lack for confidence. And, again, it's a weird situation that Brandon Allen's in. All he does is work hard, roll up his sleeves, and try to make the most of this, you know, opportunity. But at some point, once again, they get to 8 losses, you want to see Drew Locke at some point in December. But Locke looks like the guy we saw in August. He's very talented and he's confident, but how is he going to get ready getting scout team reps and a few first team reps? It's going to take a few weeks, clearly, because it's not training camp.
Troy, the national story of the day was certainly Colin Kaepernick, certainly the workout that's going on this Saturday. And locally, we learned that the Broncos will indeed send a representative to the workout. I cannot imagine a world in which the Denver Broncos and John Elway specifically would ever entertain the idea of employing Colin Kaepernick. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I mean, they tried to make it happen in the spring of 2016, met with him twice, tried to get him to take a pay cut or get the Niners to eat some of his salary to get him down to a number they saw suitable, and Kaepernick wouldn't agree. Frankly, I don't blame him. Not many NFL players walk away from guaranteed money. And so once that didn't happen, they drafted Paxton Lynch, and they moved on. And Elway said in 2018, when they were still going through quarterback issues, would you bring in Colin Kaepernick? And he said, you know, he said basically Colin had his chance here. He passed on it. We've moved on. So, you know, are they doing due diligence? Yeah. I mean, this whole NFL arranged workout and interview feels so odd to me. I hope it's not a sham, you know, but it doesn't feel right. They didn't tell Kaepernick it was going to happen, and now it's on a Saturday, not a Tuesday, when more teams could go. But it does feel like they're putting him in a position to either get like a futures contract or that somebody will sign him this season to be a backup. I just can't imagine any world where that would be the Denver Broncos.
Sorry. Good stuff, Troy. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Troy.
Hey, D-Mac, real quick.
Yes.
Congratulations to you and your son, Dylan. Yeah. I know what went into that, and what a special day for you and your family. Wish Dylan nothing but success.
Oh, man. You know, Troy, you have been... Troy has been my spirit guide in this process.
Your spirit animal?
No, because his sons are just a little bit older, and I cannot tell you guys, and I want to say thank you to Troy, how many times I leaned on Troy for advice, a shoulder to cry on about things, and this guy right here, Troy Rank, was the one guy in our whole process that was repeatedly telling us, your son's really good. It'll happen. Just trust the process. Go the whole way. Very when a cool. lot of other people wouldn't say that. So, Troy, I swear, me and my wife were talking about you, Troy, about how much you've meant to our family through this process. And, man, I think we'll be bonded on this one for a long, long time. So I really, nice. Really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you, man. I just can't. I know what it goes into it for all these kids and their families. So I can't wait to see where the story unfolds from here. But just getting to this point. Is really fabulous. So I'm thrilled for you and your family.
My man, I really appreciate it. Thank
good
you,
job,
Troy. Thank you. All right, good stuff from our pal Troy Rank. We appreciate it. And thank you for all the kind wishes about signing day with my son. You guys are the best. Tyler and Nick and Richie Taylor, everybody, really appreciate it. Cecil Lammy, he knows who to start, who to sit, this, that, the other thing. Fantasy football comes up with Cecil next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.